Beautiful, beautiful. Wow. I liked that. I liked that. Cheryl and I were just talking about that song. Yes. Everything is in sync today. Every reading, the prayer, the music. Oh my goodness. We are in for an extraordinary experience. So I say to you warmly, good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community, and I've been working on a message today that didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out, but you already have a really good piece of it based on all the things that have just taken place. And so before I actually start the message, I wanted to acknowledge we have a bit of a celebrity in the audience today. She doesn't know it, but she sat right in front of the board president. Miss Sharla. Yeah. So Sharla is a celebrity in my life, and I'm really happy to see her here. Sharla and I met right here in this community, 4 or 5 years ago. Do you know, I've been here almost 7 years now, on August 1st. And I know, yeah. Well, let's wait till August 1st, then we'll celebrate. And Sharla is a long time, you don't mind if I just chat about you for a while, do you? A long time religious scientist, and we had all kinds of things in common as we met and spoke. And did you grow up in this philosophy? Wow, this is a good day for you to be here. This is a really good day for you to be here. And more than that, I was a childbirth educator, and my certification was through the Bradley Method by Dr. Robert A. Bradley from Colorado, and that was the doctor that delivered Sharla when she was born. So for me, she's a big celebrity because he's high on my respect list. And he was your patient later because she is a nurse. So what I want to tell you, is that there was a time not that long ago when Hugh was in the hospital, and Charlie, you're a caseworker? You were a caseworker at that time? And but she was not our caseworker, but we connected somehow. I don't remember how we bumped into each other. And we were there for a long time, so I got to visit. It was really nice bumping into Charlotte and feeling that safety net, you know, it's like somebody that loves me is here helping take care of my man. It was really very sweet. And so we'd been there a couple weeks, and one day I went in to talk to our caseworker, and Sharla was sitting in the office. And I sat down and I said, you know, I'm worried about this. And last night I woke up in the middle of the night and I realized I don't even know what his hemoglobin count is. And I'm carrying on and on. And then finally, Charlotte, you stood up, I think. I think you actually stood up and she walked toward me. Didn't need to do any of this. And I don't know, you somehow approached me. I think you touched me. And she said, you don't need to know any of that right now. We're here to take care of him, and you're allowed to sleep through the night and not worry about such things. And it was like I heard that. I don't know if I would have heard it from anybody else's lips, but it was something about the way you brought your person, you brought your presence into that situation where I'm just doing what I think I need to do as an advocate for someone who really is attached to a patient. And you changed the remainder of our time there in the hospital because I relaxed. Thank you so much. Yeah, really a beautiful example of, can you see God in action in all of that? That somebody that I needed like that would appear and be there, and then, and then I kept trying to guilt her to come to Sunday service, and she never did, so I'm really happy to see you. A little guilt sometimes still works. I know we don't teach it, but, I'm a mom. I raised a lot of kids. Guilt works. The topic I'm speaking to this morning is called the storehouse of nature. And the storehouse of nature is something that Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, this religious teaching or spiritual teaching, something he coined or took from somebody else, I don't know. But he uses it in such a sweet way to remind us of how abundant life is. And so from the book that was published 100 years ago, that would be Creative Mind, I found this quote. And here's what he said. The storehouse of nature is filled with infinite good. awaiting the touch of our awakened thought to spring forth into manifestation. Now, I hope that for those of you who are here often, that quote is beginning to sound a little bit familiar, because I think it's one of those you would love to have bounce in your mind. If you hear it and hear it, then one day when you need it, you'll hear some part of it just because you've been exposed to it a lot. The storehouse of nature is filled with infinite good, awaiting the touch of our awakened thought to spring forth into manifestation, to become here, to become real, to become an experience that we can demonstrate and have. So what do we mean by that idea, a storehouse of nature? And I would say that the first thing that came to my mind when I was querying these ideas on my own was that, you know, it's that infinite good that we talk about all the time in here. It's that infinite good that is waiting for our awakened thoughts. So we're talking about being conscious. And being conscious implies everything you heard in the prayer and the reading and even Cheryl. It's about choosing, about being knowing what it is you want and then selecting that by choice into your life. So they say that there's, you know, it's like a big wake-up call as far as I'm concerned. You know, be awakened to that higher thought. That's a big wake-up call, you know. That's like you set the alarm on your phone or your Fitbit or something to remind you every so often that God is right where you are. You know, there are all kinds of ways we can celebrate the immediacy of the presence of God in our lives. So that good is waiting for us. It is considered something that is always present everywhere, including within us. And every now and then we bump into it, or we wake up and we know it and we claim it and we feel it and we talk about it and we have an experience of it. Emma Curtis Hopkins worded it this way. She said, "You have within you an instinct with executiveness, waiting your firm command." You have within you an instinct. All of us have some sort of inner knowing that is always looking energetically waiting the arrival of our good. And that's where our desires come from, is that idea. We talk about this every week. So when we look at the way we live in this universe, surrounded by good, by infinite intelligence, by inner wisdom, you know, you always have that inner voice of knowing within you. When we look at the way we're surrounded by good and that it is naturally given to us, now that puts us in a position of being aware of those qualities. Recently, I was talking about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, mildness. And if you add to that some of the other ways we talk about it, peace and power and plenty and harmony and truth and perfect order and health, when we look at all these qualities that are divinely given, that's what we want to wake up to, the presence of what's possible and that which is already given. That's why our bodies know how to heal, and that we that aging is a natural part of our life, because we know that there's something more eternal than anything in material form. So Holmes and other spiritual philosophers, other theologians, they all spoke about this something that is waiting within us and seemingly all about us, everywhere present. It's an instinct. It is that inner knowing. It is some source of good that is waiting for us to acknowledge it in order to call it forward, in order to manifest it as our actual experience. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? The good we desire is waiting for us. So simple in some ways. And when we begin to notice it or expect it, we really call it forward. So, you know, that happens because that goodness that we desire, all of us, because that goodness just is. It is present all the time. Right with us. It is life. Life is. God is. Right where I am, God is. And I am. And we are one with all of that. Creation is always creating and is eternally existing. And so is all the good that you want. It's like there is a storehouse in nature that's just filled to the brim with it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work hard for it. You don't have to suffer to get it. And you are not, this is a controversial topic, but you are not a lowly worm of the dust of the earth. I would say to you, it's just the opposite. You know what I was thinking? A lowly worm, if God can make a worm fly, what could we possibly do? It's just this incredible, miraculous world that we're living in. So there's a new theme for the month of June. So we're doing the whole year about the 100 years of celebrating the value of our teaching, the relevance of our teaching in the times that we're living in. And for the month of June, can you believe it's June? the theme is spiritual wisdom and how to follow it. Spiritual wisdom and how to follow it. When I said that to myself, I immediately said, well, first you got to court it. You got to date it, you know? You got to put yourself out there to be open to it. You have to put yourself in a position where you can see it, where you can find that perfect match. Now, we're not stalking it. You don't want to stalk it. But you want to position yourself and practice then to be receptive or open to it so that we can draw it to us, so that it can come to us, so that we can have those experiences when we most need them that are divinely given. So if you're courting your good and there's a storehouse of good. When I imagined this like a big warehouse, I thought of some pictures I've seen of Amazon.com, of some of their gigantic warehouses. I'm told there's one somewhere around here. I'd love to see it. We should do a field trip. I'd like to see a field trip. And I think of it as like this gigantic warehouse, and it has, let's face it, everything. You know, anything you need, you can get on Amazon. You can get a lot of stuff you don't need on Amazon. And what I realized is life is like that. You know, I don't even remember where I bought this fabulous rice. This fabulous seasoned rice that goes really good with Judy Kay's recipe for Cornish game hens. That's what I use it for. Yeah, I'm going to turn you on to this rice. So I bought it somewhere. It was on a shelf, and it was like, I guess it was like a trial, and I've never been able to find it again. And we're out of it, and we really enjoy Cornish game hens now. And so I needed more of that rice. And doggone, if I didn't one day go, well, Google it. Just type it in. You know, I had the container. I typed it in. And would you believe Amazon.com delivered that rice to me the next day on a Sunday morning? How does that happen? This is an abundant universe. And if we begin to see life as that storehouse of nature where everything you desire is already there.
Everything!
What?
That's
what I thought. Everything you could possibly need, want, desire, it's all there for the taking. All you got to do is hit buy in one click, right? So, and the beautiful part about it is there's enough for everybody. My having lots of good does not take away from anybody else's good. And we have to begin to think about that. We have to think about the way that when we are open to our joy, when we are open to vibrant health, when we are open to loving relationships, then everything, and when you achieve those things, then everything energetically changes in your life, and you're fun to be around, right? If you're what the world needs is happy people, one less grumpy person, Dr. Ruth used to say. So I was thinking about that idea that there's this great banquet of goodness just waiting for us. And I thought about an old story from a Christian church that I don't think I've ever even told this story, but it's a great story about a man who is going to travel from Europe to the United States. But it's in that time period before air travel became common and easy to do. So this man wants to get from Europe to the United States, and he starts saving his money to buy the ticket, a passage for one. He just needs to get himself to the other side, to the other, hopped island, whatever. And so he saves his money, he saves every penny he can until he has just enough money to buy that passage, to buy that ticket, to get on that ship and cross the ocean and come to the United States. But he knows that it's going to be, because it was a while ago, it's going to be a 2 to 3 week trip, and he now does not have enough money to buy food to eat while he's traveling. So he takes with him one suitcase that is packed full of cheese and crackers, and he's got enough to sustain him until he gets to America. So every night when other passengers would go off to the dining room for this sumptuous feast, he would take some of his cheese and crackers, and he would go and he'd sit in a corner somewhere else and he would eat them. And that was satisfying for a while, but then he began to realize that the food smelled really good and that the people were coming out and they were so happy and rubbing their stomachs and talking about how great and delicious everything was. And so he realized there's this great feast going on, but at least I've got my ticket and I'm on this ship and I'm going to get over to America and everything's going to be okay. Well, toward the end of the trip, another passenger had been watching him do this. And he approached him one day and he said, "I'm sorry, it's none of my business, but I noticed that you're always off in the corner eating cheese and crackers, and I just wanted to invite you into the dining room so that you could sit with us and you could have some really wonderful food." And the man was quite embarrassed. You know, it's like hard to tell people you can't afford to do stuff, but he admitted it. He said, "I need to tell you the truth. It took every penny I had to get the ticket, and so I'm really okay just eating my cheese and crackers." And the man said to him, "Didn't you know the food comes with the price of the ticket? You could be eating this sumptuous feast every night. You didn't realize that you had already earned it." And I think that we earn the right to pursue our good simply by the nature of being born as a human being into this universe. And so, you know, there are things that can stop us. We can shrink back and say things like, you know, "Well, I can't do that," or, "Oh, that's way too expensive," or, "Oh, I'll never have that experience." Or we can, and you're there you are in the corner eating your cheese and crackers, right? Or you could live your life filled with fear, filled with worry, heavy with anxiety or loneliness, whatever it is. And in the same way, you are sitting in the corner eating your cheese and crackers. When this divine banquet has already been spread before you, it is there in your honor, just for you. Whatever you need is there. Joy. Forgiveness. Restoration, peace, healing, whatever you need, it's already there. Ernest Holmes said, and this, I hope this is another familiar quote to many of you, "Thoughts of lack manifest as limitation. Thoughts of lack manifest as limitation. Thoughts of abundance manifest as success and happiness." You know, when I'm clear who my source is, when I'm clear how I've been made and who created me, who or what created me, when I know the truth of that, I realize the source of my good is always present, always desiring for me to have that good. And then all sense of limitation, when I am in my right mind then, all sense of limitation slips away. You cannot possibly feel limited when you recognize what's right there in front of you. So that storehouse of good is mine. That one-click button, it's mine for the choosing. Beauty, truth, power, love, joy, perfect, vibrant health and vitality, all of that is already ours. You see, people don't heal because God favors them. People don't heal because God favors them. People don't even heal just because they have good genes. People heal because they believe it's possible to be well again. And so my job is to entice you. My job every Sunday is to drop that carrot in front of you and make you crave it or want it or start believing that it's possible that you could have it. My favorite quote as a ministerial anchor for me is from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, something like that. He said, if you want to build a boat, don't teach people how to gather wood. Teach them to yearn for the sea. And so that's the carrot that I throw out every Sunday and in every class that we teach here, in every conversation circle that we hold here. We're throwing out, we're enticing you, we're trying to excite you so that you will be open to the possibility of recognizing the storehouse of nature is yours. It is filled with good, it is overflowing, it is waiting for you to acknowledge it in order for it to manifest. You have within you an instinct with executiveness waiting your firm command. Not just me, not just Sharla, not just Juliana, all of us, every living thing, every living being. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think of that. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let me tell you how Eugene Peterson paraphrased that in his Bible, The Message. He gets right down to the point. What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting things so that you then don't respond to God's giving. You get it? It's like it's pouring out. The good is pouring out. The good is pouring out, and we're over here eating cheese and crackers going, oh, it smells so delicious over there. But we get distracted. He goes on to say, people who understand how God works. This is key for me right now. This is what every person in the world right now is looking at, an opportunity to make a larger idea of what God is or what spirit is or what that inner wisdom is. I don't care what you call it, but all of us are being invited to expand our concept of that. He says, people who understand how God works don't fuss over the little things. So steep yourself in God reality, and you will find that all your everyday human concerns will be met. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. That's why you got to read other ideas and how to look at, how to have a broader idea of what those messages that we have known for years, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Investigate that. Sit with a thought like that when in your morning sitting practice while you're being quiet before you go out in the day. You know, last week we talked about that being 51%, to live your life above the law of averages. It's so easy. So easy to be above that 51%. All you have to do is choose. And I had such a good time, and I went home and I kept thinking, man, this stuff is easy. You just have to decide. And so one morning last week, after I gave that luscious talk, sometimes I really like this stuff I do. so should you. So I woke up one morning and I'd had a foul dream just before I woke up. You know what that feels like? You know, you wake up and you can't quite shake it. It's like it's on you, you know, and it feels kind of heavy. And I was laying there in bed doing what I always do in the morning. It's like, before I get up, I'm going to decide. I'm going to choose. I've looked at this discordance that I'm feeling in my being somehow. I'm facing it. And I say, no, I don't want to walk through the day feeling like this. So right now, while I'm laying in bed, I stretched myself out and I started asking myself a couple of questions. I said, so, Miss Karen, how do you want to feel today? Good question. So you start with, well, not this. It's okay to start there, right? Because that'll point you in the right direction. And then I ask myself, what do you want to experience today? See, not what do you want to go out and do, not your to-do list. What do you want to experience today? And when I asked myself those two questions, I noticed that something happened in my frame of mind. It was as if I began to feel the opposite of what I was experiencing. And it was almost as if there were these sharp edges in terms of consciousness or something that began to melt, began to soften, began to relax. And with that relaxing, now there's an expansion of what's possible for my encounter with the day. And so I had this crazy idea that I should make an acronym, because I love to make acronyms. And I could make an acronym on how to do that while I'm laying in bed. And the big piece was that while I was laying there saying, how do you want to feel? Well, then you know what happens is you go, well, joyful. What does joy feel like? Right? Just ask yourself that question right now. You can do that. What does joy feel like? What does kindness feel like? Right? What does goodness feel like? What does abundance feel like? And so it's as if you're trying on different feelings to come up with that which is your desire for your experience that day. Now, many of you know I'm a shoe shopper. I like shoes. Right? And so I was thinking it's kind of like that. You know, when I go to try on shoes, there's a certain level of comfort that I must have. I won't put on the really painful shoes, believe it or not. Not that I haven't bought them because I couldn't resist them, but I know that I'm not comfortable in them. I want something attractive. You know, I want something that makes me feel happy and brings me pleasure. And so it's like you look for that perfect fit. And you look for something that's attractive and something that feels good, feels right. It's a good match. And then, if I know it's a good match, I'm going to get more than one pair. You know, I may want one pair in every color. Or if it's just a good pair of shoes, I want a backup. So I can have that experience of joy over a longer period of time. And I have no problem buying two pairs of the same exact same shoe if it brings me pleasure. And life is like that. See, the thing is, I get to decide how I want to feel today. So I'm not going to settle. I'm going to decide. And then that's what took me to creating this acronym for the word decide. D-E-C-I-D-E. First D. Be determined. Determine. I don't have to feel that way. I'm going to determine right now that there's another way I want to feel. E, then I am going to engage in all those feelings, the feelings that I'm trying on. Joy, gladness, kindness, beauty, truth. What do those mean to you? How does it feel when you say those words? Engage in them at a feeling level. That alone starts to change your day. And then I'm going to choose what I actually desire. I found the right fit, and now I'm going to really choose it and claim it and put my demand on the law. And then I'm going to be very insistent about it. I'm going to insist that this is mine. I'm going to let no voice or other opinion or experience during the day to allow me to deviate from that which I have claimed for my life. And then the second D is I'm going to direct myself. So I figure it all out. I put the feeling on. I know the perfect fit. And now I'm going to direct myself or position myself to go in that direction and not in the opposite direction. So placement is important. Direct yourself. And then the final E is experience. Because then you will experience only what you want to experience. BOGO is brilliant. BOGO is brilliant. For those men who don't know what BOGO is, it's buy one, get one, half off. Some stores, they'll do something for free, but usually it's buy one, get one half off. When I know there's a BOGO going on somewhere, I head right out to see if I can find myself something to try on that will work, but I have to find two pairs. And you know what always happens? Yes, I see some of you nodding. You know, you find three pair. That's exactly right. And then there you are. I find a little place to sit down and really think about it. You know, I got to really think it through. What do I really want here? And sometimes what I realize is that I really want all three of those. And then I get to buy a fourth pair for the BOGO. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I will never confess how many shoes I have walked out with on a BOGO sale because be a little embarrassing. Even my husband doesn't know. Yeah, I didn't say it out loud. Oh, there is great wisdom in living a conscious life, in being awake, in choosing and deciding the direction you want to go in every day, in every moment, in fact. And there's more to it than that. Because see, it's not about stuff. We get to practice the law by playing with stuff, you know, by trying on shoes and work with the law. But when you put it to principle, you begin to realize that it's just life, that there is this storehouse of nature, this overflowing good that desires to be manifested in your life, that you what you desire to express desires to express through you. The Buddha said, there is a difference between thinking and wisdom. Wisdom is beyond thinking. Wisdom is bumping into the luminous knowledge that knows without a knower. You know, I mean, in many ways, we really know this. There's a difference between thinking and wisdom because wisdom and knowledge are not exactly the same thing. All of us know that smart people aren't necessarily wise. And those of us who are smart have done some things in life that weren't so wise. And then that's how we learn and how we grow. But your mind is always thinking. And that's what we pay attention to. We notice that. And you know what? Your mind has this ability to compare, to see life in pairs of opposites, good and bad, right and wrong, dark and light. And so because the thinking mind can differentiate, what we know is that beyond the thinking mind, there is something that is bigger, something that is whole and complete and connected, a way in which all of us are a part of that oneness. And so I want to leave you this morning with this quote from Rumi. I have not thought of this quote in so long, and it's the perfect end to this message. Rumi said this, out there beyond right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. Meet me there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas and language and even the phrase each other do not make any sense. Out there, beyond right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. In fact, there is a banquet of a tremendous spread of possibilities as to what we can experience in these lives. Meet me there, in that field, where we come with no judgment, We don't see right or wrong. We see the truth, the beauty, the namaste. The God in me recognizes the God in you. So let's take a moment to anchor these thoughts in the word of prayer. I would like to invite the practitioners that are here this morning, the ministers that are here today, if you would just surround the sanctuary, we will hold that consciousness. We stand in this truth knowing there is this storehouse of good overflowing. And we allow ourselves to become vessels to receive even now. Oh, I just feel the love of God moving through this room. It's the activity of life. It is the breath, the way in which we have been kissed into being. I sense and recognize that right where I am, God is, that this sanctuary becomes that storehouse of good. That everything we desire, the things that we want, the healing we crave is here, now. And so we just open our hearts and our minds to sense our oneness and connection with it. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the gifts of the kingdom. And so those gifts of God, the grace of God is streaming into our lives. Something within us is awakened. Something within us, that inner knowing, knows beyond knowing that life is good, that God is here right now, and so is our good. There is that active law of that concept of God that is just always giving, doesn't even question what we desire. And so we take our stand and we choose what it is we desire to feel and to experience, how we want to move through each and every day. We open ourselves to that overflowing grace of God so that we might be instruments of the divine, that the peace of God can resonate from the core of our being, that the love of God can just vibrate from us. And as we walk by a stranger in the grocery store, that they are touched and they are changed by the very love of God that we are aware of in that moment. I feel that love of God and I welcome it. I cherish it. I know it is freely given and that love desires to be expressed on this planet and it can only be here through us. So there's healing that is happening. We are rising above our limitations. We are knowing that there is nothing that can hold us back, that we deserve more than cheese and crackers, that the appetizers of life ready you for the sumptuous meal. And so I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for touching our hearts and showing us how to yearn for the sea. For life is good. And so much more is possible. And so we just open ourselves to receive that good. We receive all the good there is. And we know that there is more that is yet to come. And we get friendly with that one-click button so that we know we can shop in the warehouse of life and receive everything we desire. And so in that spirit of deep, deep gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into that insistent law that brings all things into being. I let it be, and together we say, and so it is. Amen.